paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in. Do you ever feel already buried deep? 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing. Do you know that there's still a chance for you? 'Cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just on the night. Welcome to Sit a Spell. I am your host, Lisa Lee. I've got an amazing show for you. I've got Scott Murray on the line for us tonight. We are going to talk about all kinds of amazing things. We've got religion, we've got science, paganism, we've got the universe. It's going to be so great. What I don't have for you tonight are some spells. I don't have the moon for you, but I'm here to tell you right now, what I've got with Scott is going to be more than enough. So thank you. Grab a cup of tea, grab a glass of wine, a cup of coffee, a beer. I don't care. Have a Mountain Dew. But join me because tonight's going to be really fun.
Feeling, walk
From what my Superman Josh has told me, you are pagan just like I am.
Not just like you, no, but I am pagan. Yeah, I don't think I'm pagan quite like anyone else in the world. I call myself an atheistic pagan.
Ooh, an atheistic pagan. That's interesting. Tell me about that. What does that mean?
Basically, it's there. I think there are two types of pagans and or two types of atheists in the world. There's the one that wakes up in the morning and says, "There is no God. That's that, and that's the way it is, and therefore that's how I'm going to be." And then there's what I call the soft atheist, which wakes up and instead of saying there is no God, wakes up and says there is an extremely high possibility or probability that there is no God. And so I will treat my day as if there is no God, but there is still a little tiny bit of me that has faith in something. So I describe atheistic paganism as faith-seeking proof. The true scientist wakes up and starts with the null hypothesis, there is no God, prove me wrong. The atheistic pagan wakes up with there might be a God or there probably is a God. Let's seek proof that I'm right.
Isn't that kind of agnostic?
No, agnostic means that you believe that there is a God, God exists, and deity is out there, and that's the way of the world. You just don't know who here on earth has it right, if anyone.
Oh, I had that completely wrong. I thought agnostic was they were leaning towards atheism, but still had that glimmer of hope, I guess. You know what I mean? That
It's a,
there was something.
I understand, and it's a very common misconception, so don't feel bad in any way. But getting down to brass tacks, the true meaning of the word is the agnostic believes that there is a God, that divinity does exist or deity does exist, but they either aren't sure which religion has it right or they don't believe that any man here on earth has it right.
I'm kind of leaning towards nobody has a right, to be honest. So, how are you raised?
I was raised in about as Methodist of a household as you can get, which means that for the most part, religion didn't play a huge role in my life growing up, but we did go to church every Sunday, and a very Methodist thing to do is to put a little bit of a production into the offering plate and say, look at how much I am donating. This is how religious I am, and therefore I'm saved for another week. But for the most part, religion really didn't play a huge role in my life growing up.
My dad was Methodist, and for a while I was going to church with him as well. And my dad was not a deacon, but one of the higher up guys in the church. And
Something
I
like
remember he would like bow his head, and everybody in the entire church, I'm so sorry, Daddy, but everybody in the entire church would think that he was this like so spiritual guy, and he was praying this whole time, but actually he was napping. My dad's gonna kill me for outing him like that.
no, you shouldn't feel too bad. I did the same thing. I remember when I was very young, it was not uncommon for me to just straight up lay down in the pews and take a nap. But as a teenager, I was a very soul-seeking, very prayerful individual.
Exactly.
As long as I wasn't snoring, I was okay.
So then, how did you transition from being Methodist to pagan? And then we'll get into the atheistic pagan after that. But how did you transition? What made you seek out something new?
One of the problems that I've always had with the Methodist Church and what I've had with many Christian churches in general is there are some out there that certainly celebrate their faith and have a good time and good on them, but then they have their own problems. But the Methodist Church that I went to and the Lutheran Church that I went to and the Catholic Church that I went to, it was nobody celebrated faith. Nobody was happy that there was a God. It was, I love it. Eddie Izzard does a bit where he
I
sings.
love Eddie Izzard.
As you, well, then you've heard the bit where he sings Alleluia,
Yes.
and that's kind of how I sum it up. It is a spiritually dead church. They just seem to be going through the motions. And so I was, I dabbled a little bit in what I call turbo Christianity, which is that born again, not denomination.
Yep.
You know, and they were great. They were celebratory and they were wonderful. And then I started acting like I normally do. And they kind of went, ooh, God wouldn't like you to act that way. And then they started telling me that God didn't like gay people and God didn't like this. And he is a vengeful God and you should fear God.
You know, that was part of the problem that I had, too. If God is such a loving God, why would he cast all of his people into hell for doing one bad thing? It just, to me, logically, if he really was our father, like they say, as a mother, I would never do that. And all of the terrible things that they say that he is, but yet they contradict and say he's such a loving person. Personally, I would rather think that he's the loving God, because logically, as a parent, that just makes more sense to me.
And if you read the New Testament in the Bible, it basically says, I, God, have given you Jesus Christ and set him upon this earth. And in a while, you know, in 33 years or so, I will kill him in the name and he will be the ultimate sacrifice. And this is to show you how much of a loving God I am. This is a New Testament, a new promise, a new view of the world through my eyes. You can take all that stuff in the Old Testament and all the weird rules and all the rules, you know, you can have bacon now and all that kind of stuff, and you can throw that out. That is the God I used to be, and this is the God I am now. And there are a whole lot of people who forget that. They forget that particular passage. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't really go far in the turbo Christianity. It was because it was this.
I love that term, by the way, turbo Christianity.
It was such a conflicting message that God loves you so long as you're like this, but thou shalt not judge. He will, but not you. But we're going to judge right. You anyway. And so through this confliction, I just went, okay, fine. And I found a friend in high school, and he introduced me to Wicca and to that, what I call the fluffy bunny side of. Mm-hmm. Of paganism, and it was interesting and it was new, and the more time I spent with him, the more I realized that he wanted to be the high priest and he wanted to have power over his coven and he wanted to do things with his coven that you just don't do. And so that was wrong, and so I really did kind of say screw it all, bleh. And then I got introduced to what I think is true paganism, actually after college, as an adult, when I was living in Evansville. Some friends, I found a pagan group down there because I was lonely one night, and I said, okay, I'll go just to meet some new people. And they introduced me to that. They introduced me to Circle Sanctuary up here in Wisconsin, kind of said, you know, here's something new, here's something different, here's what we believe paganism really is. And it fit, because
I was just going to ask, was that closer to what made sense for you?
Yes and no. For a long time, Wicca has never sat well with me, simply because I do, again, there are lots of conflicts in Wicca where you have this deep spiritual connection to the earth and this truly internal spiritual experiences where I believe that deity really does speak to you, but you know, that's often out in the woods on your own. And then I go back and we have our friends and we call circle and we go through the motions. And for I still see a lot of pagans that are just going through the motions, and that was a conflict for me, because they wanted to put meaning into everything, and the trees have life and everything is alive, and the old Wiccan reed of do what thou will lest thee harm another. Well, does that mean I can't squish the mosquito on my arm?
There are people out there in the pagan religion that they take things to the extreme, just like pretty much any other religion. I mean, but it's, some of them are to the extreme and some of them are, it's basically shock value.
That's very true. And there's a lot of people out there who are involved in any of the pagan religions, Asatru, Wicca, the Greek revivalism, stuff like that, they're going, haha, screw you, society, I am different.
Right. And
that's all that they're doing. The one thing that set well with me with paganism in general is that, to use Aleister Crowley's law, do as thou will, and thou will shall be the exact quote, but do as thou will, and what
harm
thou
none.
Shall be the, no, and oh. Not, he doesn't say harm none.
Oh, okay.
If you read Crowley, he says, do as thou will, and thou will shall be the total of the law. And that's will with a big W. And that set well with me, because do what you want, but understand that consequences are a-coming. So if you're a douchebag, douchebaggery will fall back upon you. And yep. If you're not a douchebag, then non-douchebaggery will fall upon you. That's where my spirituality sits, is basically be a good person. And, you know, if you can hear it on another pagan podcast all the time, don't be a douchebag. That's a mantra for the show.
That should be common sense, in my opinion.
You would be amazed at how uncommon common sense is.
No, I know. I mean, I see it. I've seen it in my personal life. I see it in daily life. I get it. But seriously, don't be a douche. It's a simple concept. And what you put out there is going to come back to you. I think that people really just think that they're going to just like fly under the radar and get away with it. But it's going to come back. It always does.
And there's nothing like working in journalism to learn that the hard way.
Oh, really? How? Why?
Well, usually when it comes to the big things of it coming back to you, usually it's in the form of a camera crew and some evidence. So
so where are you at now in your spirituality? Is there any daily things that you do, or weekly or monthly? I mean, do you follow the moon? Do you follow the Sabbats or the Esbats or anything like that?
I do, but socially more than spiritually. I mean, we celebrated Beltane, and it's a wonderful time with friends. And we celebrate Samhain, and it's a wonderful time for friends with me. And I do take part in rituals because my friends do, because my wife does. But to tell you the truth, my relationship with deity, which I think is what any religion should boil down to be, whether it's Christian, Muslim, or pagan, is it's a very, very personal relationship with deity. If you want to catch me in the middle of worship, come camping with me. Come hiking with me. Spend some time outside when I will find myself in a forest or in a field, and I will simply plunk down, allow the natural world to talk to me in some way, shape, or form.
And how does it talk to you? Do you get signs or feelings? How does that work for you? And I'm sorry if that's too personal.
I'll tell you, there's very little that's too personal. You really should start listening to Lost in the Static and another place.
I know, but this is, okay, sorry.
Okay. When the universe talks to me, for lack of a better word, have you ever been with a friend and you talk to them and they seem outwardly cheerful, but somehow you're just like, okay, stop beating around the bush. What's wrong? What happened?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's that deep, gut-wrenching feeling.
It's the knowing that there's something lying underneath that's happening, that's going on.
Exactly. And for me, when I'm out in the universe and I let my mind wander, it's that kind of those kind of feelings, those deep feelings come into me. And also, since I've been looking into things like particle physics, since I'm looking into the world of the very small and the very large and how they relate scientifically, it's extremely difficult not to look at the world and the way it exists and just get this unbelievable sense of wonder. By the laws of probability, none of us should exist.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
We exist because in a perfect system, things pop in and out of existence, and negatives pop into existence and positives pop into existence, and they run into one another, and they then cause each other to cease to exist. And we are we're mistakes. We're those little positives or negatives that escaped and continued to exist without finding its perfect pair. You know, so you look at the world like that, and it's really hard to really wake up and be in a very bad mood. and that's on a completely scientific level. And that's where I find God quite often, is in science, as odd as that sounds.
Actually, I don't find that odd at all. I mean, if you look at, and you said that we're all a bunch of little mistakes. I actually look at us as all a bunch of little miracles. If you think about the vastness of what's out there, I don't know. I think we're pretty amazing to be here. Not uncommon. I mean, if you think about it, with the whole vastness of everything out there, there's got to be other people, or not maybe people, but you know what I mean, in the universe. But I think it's pretty phenomenal that we are who we are, and we're as bright as we are and dumb.
I think we sum up both bright and dumb by saying we're as interesting as we are.
That works.
To me, worst thing in the world you can be is a boring person, because then what's your point?
I would agree with that.
So
your family, what is your family like? What are their belief systems? How do they look at your belief systems? Are you open? You know?
I'm very open with them. You know, it took me a long time to reach that point, but the weird thing about my family is the older they get, the more spiritual they become. And so my mom, who's getting older, is becoming more involved in her church in Florida and becoming more spiritual and getting closer to God, per se.
I find that the older the generations get, the closer and more religious they get to God. Have you seen that? And the more, I hate to say this, but the more like right wing they get. Does that make sense?
I'm not quite sure about right wing, but yes, it makes sense that they're forming a more closer personal relationship to God. I mean, they're closer to death. They're closer to God. They should be forming a more personal relationship. exactly. Just, you know, they're covering all their bases.
Yep.
But at the same time, I also come from, most of the men in my family are doctors of some sort. My dad's an orthopedic surgeon. I've got an uncle who's a neurosurgeon, two cousins who are, one is a neurosurgeon, one was a chiropractor. I'm really the black sheep for not going into the medical industry. But again, that medicine is a science. And so God didn't play a huge role. I mean, you want to talk about a surgeon, you've got a human being who is depending on this team of individuals to keep them alive and to fix whatever is wrong with their body. Mm-hmm. In the case of the neurosurgeons, you're even dealing with a brain. You've got the person awake with their skull off, and you're poking around in their brain, and they're awake telling you what they're feeling, how their mood changes, and everything like that. And it's very, very hard when you're in that position to say, there is a God who is created and in control of all of this, because if I pinch this line or if I snip the wrong place, then,
right,
you know, it's very hard for God to play a role when you're in his pants. They've always been scientists. They've always had a scientific view. But I think really if you narrowed them down and said, is there a God? They would say yes. And they would, you know, does God care if you go to church? No. Does God care if you talk to him or her or them as you see them? Yes. Should you have, again, that deeply personal relationship with God? I think that is the core of religion, rather than any organized house of worship.
It's my understanding that religion is man-made.
That's a good way of looking at it. I think that
religion versus spirituality.
Exactly. I think deity is something in itself that none of us as humans have the capability to understand. And so you have this guy who gets a really good idea, and the Christian church evolves out of his good idea. And you get another guy who has another good idea, and the Muslim church you know, the Church of Islam grows out of his idea. And then you have Buddha, who has his own ideas, even though that's more of a philosophy than a religion. But
I agree.
You've got all of these people who have ideas of what deity should be and what deity is expecting from us. The truth is, even if Jesus existed, even if Jesus walked this earth, and there's evidence to both sides whether he did or did not,
right?
I don't think that it's that deity in itself is capable of speaking to us directly in any other way than that deep, deep emotional impact. And simply because of the limitations of that, no church is ever going to have it right, because you can't, deity doesn't have the ability to come down and say, build my house here, build it like this, worship in this way. All deity really expects from us is acknowledgement.
To me, that makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. So, you're married. What are your wife's beliefs?
She is, and I know she'd like to be on the show at some point in the future.
I would love to have her on the show.
And that wouldn't be a problem. And she is a Greek recon. What she does is she goes back to the Hellenistic period of Greece, studies Hellenismos, or studying this particular period in Greece, studying how they worship, studying how they see deity. And she, when she thinks of deity and when she forms a personal relationship with deity, he happens to take the form of Ares. So she follows Ares and the way that he was worshipped, and does her best to recreate that Greek, in some way, that Greek Hellenistic period of worship. There you go.
So I just, for my own clarification, you always say deity, and other people say spirit, and other people say God, and other people say the universe. In your opinion, is that kind of like all of the same, just a different name? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. And there are different views on this, of course, always.
Of course. But in your opinion?
In my opinion, it really is. It's I call it different facets of the same diamond. At the core, it's the same compressed carbon. But, you know, once you cut that diamond in a certain way, that it's going to shine for you.
That makes perfect sense to me.
A lot of times when I say the word God, people get the Christian God in their mind, or this big guy in the clouds with the flowing beard, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
If I say God and not goddess, a lot of pagans get really upset, because to them it is two distinct deities, the Lord and the Lady. And then if I say God to an Asatru, maybe Odin comes to mind, or maybe Loki or Thor or something like that. So when I say, I keep it nice and simple to deity, because deity speaks to us in different ways, and he or she or them will give you their own names.
That works. Now, do you and your wife, do you have children?
No, we do not. We have two kitties.
Two kitties. And how are you raising your kitties? I'm just kidding.
It's a mixed marriage. I think Dexter might be Jewish, but we're not sure. It's hard to tell on a cat, really.
Nice. Awesome answer.
Find a person who has different views from myself and talk to them. I've done this with Josh, you know, who is very much an atheist. I'll talk to him about his views of God and why God does not exist to him. And at the same time, I will sit down with a Buddhist.
When you say Josh, you mean Superman, right?
That's not the word I have for him, but we'll go with it.
He's my Superman.
That'll work. He's my co-host on Lost in the Static.
Speaking of Lost in the Static, why don't you tell us a little bit about your show?
I'd be happy to. I actually have two shows, and I'll start with Lost in the Static, which is one that I do with Josh. And sure. And we discuss kind of the world in general, pop culture, a lot of the times pop culture, movies, comic books, porn, any kind of the media influence and what's going on in the world around us. We've talked about internet history. We've talked about the influence of technology. We've had lots and lots of guests on, including comic book writer Mike Grell, who is extremely well-spoken. The godfather of porn, Bill Markgold. Thank you. Bill Markgold, who you pretty much ask him one question and let him talk for the hour because he has a lot to say about a lot of stuff, and both in the world of X and outside the world of X. And we've had a lot of really great guests on. We've interviewed each other, and it's kind of an everything and nothing show. But I'm proud to say that we've gotten some friends and quite a few listeners over the year or so that we've done it. So
as producer, I'd like to interject something. We are also coming up on our 100th episode of Lost in the Static.
Woo!
This is true.
So. Joshy, I mean Superman and Scott, when can people listen to your show?
You can catch us Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Central on Jackalope 105, or you can just search up Lost in the Static in iTunes and catch the podcast of the show. Or you can listen on Stitcher Radio. And if you listen really, really closely, you might even be able to hear us just shouting at each other, which happens every now and then.
And then you've got a second show?
I do. It's a show that I do with my wife, Dawn, and our friend, Teresa. And Teresa's just as interesting. She is an Egyptian reconstructionalist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy balls. So maybe I should have them both on at the same time. That could be a fun night.
Yeah, it would. But it's a show that I do with my wife, Dawn, and our friend, Teresa. It's called Another Pagan Podcast.
And by the way, your wife is beautiful. No, I've seen her picture. She's beautiful.
Don't tell her that. It'll go to her head. And she'll look and she'll go, if I'm that beautiful, what am I doing with him? But Another Pagan Podcast, just search that up in iTunes and, we usually record Saturdays every week. So yeah, listen in and we discuss all things pagan, and including stuff about festivals, stuff about different paths that people take. We've done two music specials. So if you're looking for some pagan-ish music, we can point you to a few bands. And yeah, in fact, coming up here, we've got a feedback show coming up.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show tonight and letting us know all about you and your beliefs. And I am absolutely positive that there are so many more people out there that have the exact same beliefs that you do. And they're probably really feeling empowered and excited to hear that there's other people out there like them. So thank you so much. And if they want to find you, how would they do that?
If they want to find me, I'm on Facebook, Scott Murray. You can look me up. We also have facebook.com/anotherpaganpodcast or facebook.com/lostinthestatic. And that would be the best jumping off point. And I just want to say to anybody that's listening out there that has heard what I have to say and is kind of saying, yeah, I felt that way too, but I did the same thing. I followed the other paths and I went through the fluffy side, and I went through all of this, and
gotta love the fluffy bunnies. So you gotta pat them on the top of their head and love them just as much. They're newbies.
They're wonderful people, and mm-hmm. I'm happy to have them. But to anybody out there who is kind of agreeing with me, you know, let me know. I'd love to hear from you because it feels like, at least being out, we are few and far between.
Actually, I disagree with you. I think that there's a lot more of us out there than what meets the eye. They're just a little more cautious about saying who they are and what they believe. But hearing you, I think a lot more people are going to come out and be like, yes, I agree with that completely. And that's what I believe. And that's who I am as well.
I certainly hope so.
And Scott, you're a role model. So thank you.
Uh-oh.
Don't be sniffering, smarty pants. I actually meant that.
We're in a lot of trouble if that's the case.
Well, I've read a lot of your Facebook posts, and I gotta say, you just make me laugh and you make me smile. So if there are a lot more of you out there, well, the world's just going to be a much better and happier and funnier place.
Oh, keep it up. It'll get you everywhere.
All right, Scott, thank you so much. You are amazing. And check out Scott. Check out his two radio shows. Check out his gorgeous, beautiful, lovely wife. And I promise to have her. And what was her name? Teresa. I promise to have both of them on the show at a later date. In the meantime, Scott, thank you so much.
That would be wonderful.
It was a delight having you on the show.
Do you always trust your first initial feeling? Special knowledge holds true, bears believing. I turned around and the water was closing all around like a glove. Finally found me, and I knew in the crystalline knowledge of you. Drove me through the mountain, through the crystal like a clear water fountain. Drove me like a magnet to the sea. I turn around and the water
So, Lisa, you've talked to me about my views of deity quite a bit, and through Cytospell, we've seen little glimpses of really how you see God. But how does God speak to you? How does the goddess speak to you?
A lot of times, I feel it's like through signs. I'm getting signs all the time. Signs that, and I always, whenever I'm telling the universe I need a sign, I always have to say and make it obvious because I'm a dumbass and I just don't see it. So it's by signs that only pretty much I would see and get, like even as simple as license plates, you know, or cars or signs on the side of the road. I mean, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but oftentimes the only way that the universe can hit me on the side of my head and it makes sense to me is by dumb signs. And sometimes it's a feeling, and it's a feeling that there is absolutely no way that I can disregard the feeling because it's so random, or, you know what I mean, out of the blue. Does that make sense?
It completely makes sense to me. See, the atheistic pagan would look at that and say, okay, the signs that I'm seeing is maybe a little piece of my brain that can't pop in there directly. And so what I'm doing is I'm seeing the world around me and I'm superimposing these signs from my own head. And that would be the difference. Now that emotional, that feeling that you mentioned, now that to me is to give you an idea is really how deity speaks to me. And that I have a harder time disregarding in a scientific way.
But for me, I'm going to kill myself for saying this, but for me, oftentimes I'm just a dumbass. And so I actually tell the universe, I'm like, no, you can't just give me one sign. You need to make it the exact same thing like 7 times or 8 times. And then if I actually get that 7 or 8 times and it's the exact same thing, then I'm like, oh, okay, I'll follow you and that makes sense to me.
I need a sign and it has to be flashing neon.
Pretty much. That's me. Otherwise, yeah. I'm like, no, uh-uh. That could be just coincidence. Yeah,
So let me ask you this. We've made quite a few scientific discoveries and science is explaining more and more wonder in the universe. And to me, creating just as much wonder, just on a different scale. How do you reconcile those universal signs and those deep feelings with a healthy dose of skepticism and science today?
Oh, I love skepticism and I love science. They kind of go hand in hand. And for me, I'm looking deeper into other things like, you know, the quantum physics and string theory and just all that stuff kind of makes sense to me. And they go hand in hand with spirituality. In my opinion, they do. I don't know. To me, science and faith really can match up. There are some things that in many religions, they would say you have to take it on faith. I've never been one to take things on faith, ever.
You're much more of an atheistic pagan than you give yourself credit for.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. I'm more skeptical. And a lot of people think that a lot of people will believe that I am just very so spiritual that I will take it all on faith. But frankly, no. If it's not logical, And it's not scientific, it just doesn't make sense to me. That's why, like, the law of attraction actually makes sense to me. And spells. Let's look at spells for a second. Spells, that's kind of a law of attraction. That's putting your energy out there. To me, spell is kind of the same thing as prayer, only it's prayer with accessories. Yeah. And you're putting all your energy out there, and the universe, and scientifically, the universe is giving you what you need and what you're asking for. Does that even make sense? To me, it makes sense, but to most people, it might not make sense.
Makes quite a few sense. If you listen to APP, when we talk about magic and spell work and things like that, we equate it to prayer. And just in the same way that you did. So we have a whole lot more in common than you think.
To me, it has to be logical. It has to make sense. Otherwise, there's really no point in doing anything. And you have to help people.
I am going to interject and ask her a question.
Okay.
Lisa, why did you start this show? What brought you to starting Cytospell?
Oh, honestly, the whole reason that I started doing the show was to help people. Honest to God, the whole entire reason that I am doing this show in my very heart and in my very soul is to help people and to empower people and to give them the tools and the knowledge and give them what they need, even if it's just something simple or even something big. It doesn't matter. What I want to do is I want to help people, and I know that I can do that, and that's the whole reason that I'm doing this show. I swear to God, on my entire life and my entire soul, I just want to help people. And I believe that I can do that. And I've been getting emails and phone calls and all this other different types of, I even got a letter, for God's sake, that I'm actually doing good and I'm helping them and I'm improving their lives and helping them improve their lives. I'm not improving their lives. I'm helping them to improve their lives. That's a whole reason that I do what I'm doing right now. And it's uncomfortable for me in so many levels. But really, I really want to help them, and I want to help people, and I want to make a difference in the world. Even if it's just I'm doing one thing to help one person, that person could help another person, and that person will help another, and on and on and on and on. I swear to God, that's the whole reason. As uncomfortable as doing this show is for me, that's why I'm doing this, honest to God. I just want to help people. Oh, God, I'm going to cry. That's so stupid. Oh, sorry.
Just before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar, on the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light. I drew a map of Canada, oh Canada, with your face sketched on it twice. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. It tastes so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I drink a case of you. And I would still be on my feet, oh, I would still be on my box of paints. I'm frightened by the devil, and I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. I remember that time you told me, you said, love is touching souls. Surely you touched mine, 'cause part of you pours out of me. Lines from time to time. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. It tastes so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could think a case of you, darling. Still I'd be on my feet. I would still be on my. She knew your life, she knew your devils and your deeds. And she said, go to him, stay with him if you can. but be prepared to bleed. Oh, but you are in my blood, you're my holy wine, you're so bitter, bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you. I would still be on my feet.
I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight on Sit a Spell with Lisa Lee. I had so much fun. I learned a lot. Scott is really profound and wonderful. I'm sure that you all thought the same thing. Hit him up on Facebook. Come and join me next week. I've got more guests and I've got spells for you and new moon things. It's going to be amazing. Don't forget to come to my site, empoweringthedivine.com. And in the meantime, my darlings, don't forget, take back your light.